Hello everyone, I'm Brian Zimmerman, the Custom Content Editor with Becker's Hospital Review. Thank you for tuning into the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. James Fee and Jennifer Eaton. Dr. Fee is the CEO of Injuvant. As a graduate of Tulane University Health Sciences Center, double boarded in internal medicine and pediatrics, Dr. Fee maintains a clinical practice in hospital medicine in Baton Rouge. He brings to the industry years of healthcare management combined with clinical coding, documentation, and operational experience. Recognized as a thought leader in clinical documentation integrity, he is credentialed by AHIMA and ACDIS. Jennifer Eaton, RN, MSN, CCDS, is the Executive Director of Consulting Services and Education for Injoin, leading the company's efforts in CDI program management. She has over 15 years of acute care nursing experience with over 10 years of CDI experience. Jennifer has guided many healthcare organizations in establishing a CDI operational model of success and innovative paths that lead to a greater growth of scope, program success, and sustainability. Dr. Fee, Jennifer, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be here.
Okay, so let's go ahead and dive in here. First question I have, Dr. Fee, I'd love it if you could kick us off here. So COVID-19 has left a mark on every sector of healthcare. Specifically, how has it impacted CDI and how have organizations responded?
Thank you, Brian. Great question, but I think for the audience to understand the landscape for which CDI was in prior to COVID, because certainly CDI was facing challenges prior to COVID, and COVID escalated or changed some of those challenges to a certain degree. Just like healthcare, CDI is not certainly immune to transformation and change. In healthcare, we were facing decrease in hospital admissions, decreasing reimbursement, net patient revenue at risk of denial, $1 for every $10 at risk. Increasing in adoption of technology and achieving the ROI with that technology. And also, as healthcare marched on an evolution for change, looking at the quadruple aim, building in better care, healthier folks, smarter spending, and certainly care team well-being, CDI was faced with very similar challenges, particularly with advancing clinical integration in the face of physician burnout. So certainly organizations who had invested resources into their CDI program had to face new challenges with COVID in the face of both fee-for-service as well as alternative payment models. We saw certainly dramatically decrease in volumes during the COVID crisis, decrease in revenue with elective procedures, and not only hospital settings, but outpatient settings as well. Certainly, CDI's program approach, as well as its reactionary change to the COVID crisis, was different both in the fee-for-service, which is a transactional model, versus an alternative payment model where there was unexpected cost. So as the CDI team looked at these new challenges in the face of the pre-existing challenge, you saw a lot of flexibility in the face of both professional and personal uncertainty. Programs were immediately forced to be remote, which certainly had changes in their dynamics with their team, but importantly, not only with each other, but also with providers. And both the CDI specialist as well as physician providers were forcing back into a clinical realm and focus on clinical change. So that certainly was an impact in how that interaction occurred in a CDI structure. Certainly the value prop changed, you know, focus on high value initiatives with CDI, and then certainly a further adoption of technology. So really a CDI, how did the CDI organization respond? With flexibility, aligning with the organization for revenue recovery, as well as identifying those parts of the organizations that focused on alternative payment models and cost justification, if you may, but also supporting the providers, which we'll talk about a little later, with regard to how to support the clinical aspect in the face of ongoing burnout. So that's really a lot of change that in a short period of time that the CDI profession has experienced.
Absolutely, Dr. Fee. And just to add to some of your thoughts, from the CDI program perspective, what we're seeing from some of our client base is really that struggle to ensure that CDI is focused on showing consistent value. And being a value add to their organization. And for many, that really means, you know, rethinking their strategic plan related to expansion or refocus on certain areas. And then expanding collaboration also with others to promote, you know, CDI outcome transparency and knowledge sharing. So what we're seeing today and what we have been seeing, and I think COVID-19 has really just been a catalyst for this, is that, you know, the days of CDI really existing in a silo with just HIM and coding are not going to be, you know, that approach is not going to be sufficient to really push us into that scenario where CDI is continuing to add and expand upon their value for an organization.
Thank you both so much for weighing in there. I think we got some helpful background as well, just to sort of set the stage for the rest of this conversation. And so I'm going to go ahead and move to the next question I have here, which is, so what are the top priorities for CDI now and going forward? And what are some success metrics?
Sure, Brian, I can take the lead on this one. So really, as I alluded to in the previous statement, you know, historically CDI, for the most part, has not strayed too much from the well-worn path of MSDRG accuracy and assurance. But what we're seeing is that with the shakeup with related to COVID-19, there really is now this greater need for change and for CDI programs to embrace the change, think outside of the box, to ensure that they can continue to be successful and sustainable. And in doing so, it's really pushing a lot of CDI leaders to get creative, be more resourceful, and not rely on their maybe outdated strategies when those are not going to fit into our kind of new normal that we're all trying to figure out right now. So, you know, really given the current state of affairs, I would say some of the top priorities for our client base include accurate revenue recovery efforts, which obviously is going to require some optimal alignment of their current CDI resources. We know that there's been, you know, furloughs and shift in resources, and people are expected to do equal work or more with less. So strategic alignment is more important than ever. And what that can translate into is understanding your payer priorities. Again, alignment of your current resources with high impacting payers and patient groups. And then ensuring that your technology and software solutions support these efforts through accurate reporting on outcomes, so that really decisions can be data driven and they can also be quickly addressed, as we know our landscape is going to continue to evolve primarily for the rest of this year, most definitely. And within that, one other thing that I think more than ever is a top priority for CDI is around that optimization of their technology usage. What we've seen out there is that there has become somewhat of a technology reliance among the CDI teams. And that's not a bad thing, as long as the technology is being used in an appropriate, effective manner. But sometimes that can actually diminish the ability to critically think outside the box and think about their outcomes and what's influencing those. So it's really imperative, again, to assess every process that is in place today and make sure that that fits within the current environment. And then I cannot stress enough, really, just transparency of outcomes. As hospital leaders, you should not only be informed of these outcomes, but encouraged to collaborate on goals that impact the financial health of your organization. And then a couple of KPIs to think about. I mean, definitely, you know, revenue recovery is at the top of everyone's list today. But others, other KPIs that can measure program health include impact on denial overturn rates, as well as improved risk adjustment tied to CMS quality-related payment incentives and penalties.
Yeah, Jen, I would add to that that certainly an organization's top priority is to align with the organizational strategy, refine their approach, augment that approach. But also, one of the key things we saw, especially in the short term and in the short term recovery and maybe a little longer term recovery, is partnering with organizations to understand the adoption of new innovative things. And that is, take that opportunity to develop an approach of transformation and sustainability. And one thing we've certainly seen is a lot of innovation and adoption with telemedicine and the approach to patients' care. And I think CDI will play a critical role in those new approaches to care delivery. So certainly a lot of times, crisis brings us to a point of innovation.
So my next question here is, waivers and exceptions seem to be the new norm with regulations, including status determinations, telehealth, et cetera. So how does this impact the foundation of CDI?
I think really what's important when organizations are looking at and sifting through all the waivers is the purpose and foundation of those waivers, certainly with telemedicine, status determination, looking at both access to care and the capacity and the throughput of care. So foundationally, it's very important as a takeaway that from a accuracy of coding and documentation, the foundation hasn't changed. The goal is, in all of this, is to ensure financial accuracy to represent the care that was provided, thereby a compliant claim. And the waivers were, as I said, were not a waiver on documentation accuracy. And really, it's not a false sense of, it shouldn't have a false sense of security with regard to the impact of denials, because denials will return. And in fact, we've seen some watchdogs that have been engaged, if you may, to look at overbilling for in the COVID situation. So really, our goal in CDI has not changed. We want to maintain the reliability and the integrity of the medical record to ensure that there's adequate care is represented, but also there's financial accuracy with that care. And ultimately, we want to still take the same approach in CDI, where we take a denial prevention approach.
Absolutely, Dr. Fee. You know, we have really been just advocating that it, you know, while it's imperative to stay up to date on the rules and regulations, and dispense that knowledge as appropriate, it's even more important to stay proactive with our strategies and remain, you know, vigilant regarding documentation and coding accuracy. Absolutely.
I think that proactive piece is a really important component to all of this. And then my next question here is, an integrated team model has always been critical for accurate documentation, you know, given the shift to more clinical focus. What is your advice to providers working with a CDI program that is adjusting to the pandemic?
I think that the best advice for everyone, whether it's provider, CDI specialist, or everyone in healthcare, is certainly patience and adjusting to the uncertainty and the change. As I mentioned before, going into this, there were certainly concerns with physician and provider engagement as it relates to burnout, when to query, when not to query, when is over querying, what is that line that we seek. So I think really my advice to providers is understanding, going back foundationally, understanding the purpose of CDI to ensure there's accuracy in the medical record and that the care that is being provided, especially and very importantly during a time of an evolutionary event or a time of crisis, is that it's accurately represented of the care that was provided. And so working with the CDI team, organizing a strategy with that, I'll say that in our clients and in partnerships that we have, we've been approached to assist with CDI programs where a lot of their clinical support had moved back onto the front lines, and helping work with the providers to understand and target and organize and strategize of how to approach. Because really, the providers are the clinical historians of this evolutionary event in healthcare. And so I do think that we as a team, and this has come through, that we as a team work together for the common goal, which ultimately from an epidemiological point of view, from a clinical care point of view, from a system operations point of view, will define this moment in history so we can learn from it and adapt to changes in the future.
I could not agree with you more, Dr. Fee. It's one of those things that sometimes is difficult, I feel like, for providers and CDI to sometimes understand that their goals are your goals, and we're essentially all on the same team with that same objective of ensuring that we are telling the patient's story in a compliant and accurate way. And I think that one way that we can demonstrate that value and that partnership is through knowledge sharing, and not to discount the advantages of really collaborating and learning from each other. And then through that knowledge sharing, understand that, you know, the providers are an integral part of that CDI team. And through that, I feel like is when you really start to see the full benefits of a CDI program and have a CDI program that is going to be considered best in class.
Yeah, it sounds like it's really about getting everyone on board and, you know, pursuing the same mission and the same goal. And so my next question is, there's certainly been a lot of attention on fee-for-service with COVID-19, but I'm wondering if either of you have any thoughts on the impact of CDI on population health today and, you know, moving forward in the future.
Sure, Brian. So I do feel like that we've all learned some important lessons related to pop health management thanks to COVID-19. So definitely access and care collaboration remain top priorities, and our systems were put to the test with this PHE. We mentioned earlier telehealth and the expansion of options related to telehealth that were granted through that 1135 waiver. I feel like this was so impactful for ambulatory care and population health in general, as patients now have more avenues to explore related to accessing the right care at the right time. And essentially what this means for CDI is that our services are becoming more vital than ever in this population health space. So we know through some recent statistics that ambulatory visit volumes are rebounding faster than inpatient. And that paired with sometimes, you know, quickly implemented or expanded telehealth services is now producing some providers that are going to need help to ensure that their documentation and coding is compliant and accurate. We also know that providers need time to focus on their patients. They don't have time to research the rules and regs and consistently educate themselves and their peers. Nor is it beneficial for them to sit back and wait for, you know, a payer to inform them of what maybe they're doing correctly versus not correctly. So CDI can really help close that knowledge gap, help the providers, again, take a proactive approach to some of these new rules and regulations, and most importantly, help ensure that the claim goes out the door in an accurate manner the first time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Jennifer. I think that CDI is critical in really defining those populations, especially as we see with the need and the concern for alternative payment models, population health models, with rate setting, determining benchmarks. It's a very important to for those patients that represent that population to be seen, and we're seeing the changes in approach, as Jen mentioned, with telemedicine and who's going to access care through that as opposed to going to the physician's office in the time of recovery. So I think population health is certainly, as I mentioned before, it's a different approach, whereas fee-for-service is more transactional. Population health is defining a population and caring for that population over a period of time. And so certainly it's important for CDI, as we looked at those PHEs and some of the waivers, or the PHE with the waivers, is that CDI will play a very important role in cost accounting, if you may, of what is the exception that was unanticipated in this crisis.
Thank you both for all your thoughtful and detailed answers so far. I really appreciate it. And I just have one more question for each of you. And the final question here is, so, you know, it's no secret that this is a challenging time for health system executives, and many are having to reexamine resource allocation, including resources devoted to CDI. And I just wonder if I'd leave you any advice for these leaders.
Certainly. I think from our conversation thus far, It's apparent that CDI certainly is a valuable resource for an institution. CDI certainly fundamentally is going to, as I've mentioned, impact financial accuracy, whether that is revenue recovery in this time, and certainly revenue protection and denial risk mitigation. Very, very important. Also, as we've seen some of the waivers and change with regard to quality reporting, quality performance, but CDI is very critical in translating the high quality care that's being provided, as well as we've seen population risk. So the key thing is, I think a key thing from a top-down look is that CDI is a high-valued resource, and whether an organization is perhaps not quite in the recovery mindset, but still in more of the reactionary mindset, but then soon we'll be planning for immediate short-term and long-term recovery phases, CDI should have a seat at that table in a strategy committee, an advisory panel, and really help identify and optimize CDI's work, as well as Jen mentioned early on about new KPIs, is a consideration that immediate in the short term, where case mix index or CMI has certainly been a focus, even more so, it may be a changing KPI, if you may, in that. Also, take an innovative approach with your CDI team. Look at seasonal trends. Look at clinical trends that have occurred historically, so you can optimize the efficiency and the output and the impact of the CDI team as operational return. But even more so, facing those challenges that went into COVID and now COVID, is prioritization. Prioritization for what an organization wants to achieve, but also where to advance and where to maybe withhold technology or further advance technology. And really looking at the high value short sprints that a CDI team can have. But most importantly, CDI plays a very important role with provider and physician engagement. As I said, working with physicians, understanding all the challenges around accurate documentation and coding, to help physicians continue to assist in the translation, for they own the medical record. So I think from a top-down approach, a valuable resource, certainly changes will in strategy will adjust, but I certainly think the flexibility that's been shown in the CDI space with partnerships will be successful in our recovery as well.
Yes, I agree with you there, Dr. Fee. And just to add, you know, the benefit, as we've heard and a lot of us know, the benefits of CDI can be vast. But it's so important for leadership to understand the ever-growing potential of CDI, both in the more traditional inpatient space, as well as the rapidly growing population health arena. And with that understanding, executive leadership can then more effectively collaborate with CDI on these goals and strategies to achieve those goals. So I would just encourage you to invest your time in getting to understand what your CDI team looks like today. Do you have a CDI team? If not, why not? And is now the right time to perhaps invest in some of those resources? Ask some hard questions. Challenge the status quo. Share your ideas and ultimately promote concepts that will optimize CDI impact for your organization.
Some really powerful closing comments there about, you know, really investing in people from the CDI team to physician engagement. I think it's a perfect place to end here. So on behalf of Beckers, I want to say thank you to Dr. Fee and Jennifer for taking the time and sharing those thought-provoking responses with our listeners today. And we also want to thank our podcast sponsor, Enjoin. You can tune into more podcasts from Beckers Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.